Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy February.
Yeah. End of a rough week all the way around. So let's see if we can get it right. Are you ready for your Ever Wonder Why question?
Ever Wonder Why?
Yeah. Ever wonder why Frankfurters in a bun are called hot dogs?
You'd think that I would have wondered that growing up in Oscar Mayer land.
Yeah. I was kind of saving it for you.
But no, I couldn't tell you why they're called hot dogs.
All right. In 1852 in Frankfurt, Germany, members of the Butchers Guild created a long, thin sausage that they named Frankfurter in honor of their town. One of these butchers owned a dachshund, and as soon as it was noticed that the shape of the sausage was the same as the dog, the sausages became known as dachshund sausages. These dachshund sausages came to the United States under the name and were sold red hot by various sausage peddlers. One of these peddlers, noticing that his sausages often burned his customers' fingers, decided to put them in buns. A New York Times cartoonist, T.A. Dargan, was very impressed with these hot dachshund sausages in buns and decided to illustrate them in the New York Times as a New York Times cartoon. However, Dargan wasn't sure about the spelling of dachshund, so he called the sausages hot dogs. There you go.
You know, I don't even feel bad for not knowing that
yeah.
now.
Well, you can just say a cartoonist.
That's true.
And then
a cartoonist.
Kind of boiled that one down. Yeah. Oh, gee. Hey, how's the new pond coming along?
We don't have a new pond.
I'm talking about the extension.
Throwing me this morning.
Yeah.
We have divided a pond, and that project went very smooth. It maybe was the first time ever that we pounded a wall into a wastewater treatment marsh, dividing it into two, in essence, to let the water flow twice as long through it and not just cut across the center. And it went really smooth. I mean, it was very interesting to see our contractors kind of have to build their own barge and their way to get in and out of the barge and, you know, get a small lift hoist out onto a barge and float it over wastewater while they were pounding in a wall. But they did a marvelous job. We actually hired Wallman Construction for the job, got the bid for the project, and it was really smooth.
Did they have to, like, now that we're in Lent, did they have to part the waters in order to pour cement, or did they just drive pilings down and then attach?
Yeah, just drove it down, yeah.
How deep is that water?
The water itself is probably only 6 to 8 feet deep, but the pilings, I think, went another close, I don't know, 12 feet below.
Okay.
So it was just a lot of pounding.
Yeah, not that anybody would want to jump in the pond.
No.
No.
Every now and then, speaking of hot dogs, you know, every now and then we get a dog, you know, but we really encourage people to keep their dogs on leash. It is a marsh and wildlife sanctuary, and the water is not safe for your animals.
No, no, that would rival anything they could find on the river.
I hope the river doesn't rival that.
That's called another issue entirely. Oh, the construction that's going on out in the bottoms, headed out towards the old Sierra Pacific location, is that the next phase? I guess you'd call it a phase, huh?
That is actually, so what you see just, I'll say, kind of south and west of V Street is Caltrans purchased that property for mitigation, and I think they've got mitigation credits on that property in part for the work they're doing on the 101 corridor right now, in part for the city's portion of the trail within the 101 corridor and the county's portion of the trail within that corridor. So there's, you know, the work that habitat restoration, and that's maybe where you say the new pond, because a lot of those areas are holding water, and it will also flush in and out with the tide. The city had several years ago completed what we call the McDaniel Slough Restoration Project, and it added close to 75 acres, actually, back to Humboldt Bay. So Caltrans Mitigation Property does have a a pipe, we'll just call it a culvert, that connects tidal water into their property from the city's restoration project. So yes, that is with the new ponds that you're referring to. There is a lot of water being held on that property now.
So that's all associated with the overpass, underpass, exchange, whatever it's being called, at Indianola?
Yeah, and I think even the cable burying that they did and the replacement of the, you know, they're working on the replacement of the southbound Jacoby Creek Bridge. So you've seen that bridge, the new bridge, actually got built in the center between the north and southbound lanes on 101.
Right.
And it will be used as a diversion, you know, for traffic while they remove the old bridge. But that is actually the new bridge, and then it will be jacked up and slid over and put into place next construction season.
So they had to do a set aside just for the bridge? That a couple of feet on each side?
They replaced, so going northbound on 101, if you're driving up to Arcata, you'll see that they widened slightly and replaced the guardrails on the bridges over Jacoby Creek and Gannon Slough going northbound. So those projects are done. They're lengthened acceleration and deceleration lanes coming on and off, like the Indianola cutoff, the Bayside cutoff. Have been lengthened, and then they did a lot of the cable barrier, replacing the old guardrail barriers.
Yeah.
Through here. But then their last big, well, they have two big pieces left. One is the full replacement of the bridge southbound over Jacoby Creek, and that's what I'm saying. They've actually built the new bridge, but they built it between the north and southbound lanes. You see that big kind of concrete structure that's sitting out in between. Looks like like you pull right off onto it. So for a period of time, I think they will be diverting traffic onto that bridge in that current location where it sits in the middle while they remove the old structure that is currently the southbound Jacoby Creek Bridge. And then they will actually take that middle structure, they will jack it up, and they will move it over and place it onto the southbound to typically where you see the southbound bridge now.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Karen, have you got the numbers in from the fourth quarter of last year, you know, as far as sales tax and TOT and some of those types of monitoring, I guess, of the local economy?
Yeah, we do. So we have the whole, what I'll call sort of the first half of our fiscal year. So, you know, July 1st through December, those numbers are in. And the far north coast has actually fared pretty well in sales tax. And, in fact, for Arcata specifically, we are from in 2019, which would have mostly been pre-pandemic, we were at just under $1 million, about 920,000. We would have been at the end of December of 2019. And we've actually brought in, for straight sales tax, we've brought in just about 950,000. So I do caution our council to say our sales are slightly down. Part of that bump that we've actually seen this year is because so many businesses did not remit sales tax between March, April, May, and June of last year, right? And so they're starting to make those back payments that are coming in now later in 2020. So we actually saw a little bit bump each month between September and December with some of those late sales tax coming in. We saw the exact same trend on our local tax, what we call Measure G here often, and almost an identical. Typically, like by December of 2019, we would have brought in just about 775,000, and this year we're close to about 850,000. So from a tax perspective, I think the North Coast is doing fairly well. Also, from a hotel tax perspective.
Yeah, I was wondering about the bed tax.
Yeah, so obviously visitors coming to the North Coast pay an extra tax on their room stay, whether it's a motel, a hotel, or an Airbnb. And our hotel tax is down really just about 3%. You know, what we're finding is that it's fairly comparable to previous years, that even with reduced travel, the North Coast saw both visitors and a lot of essential workers that were staying in motels. And actually, I just pulled hotel tax for January, and it also looked a little bit up this year, which surprised me because we did see sort of that increase shut down around December and January, but we didn't see that reflected in hotel tax.
Yeah, so
now, it's not all that rosy for Arcata, and I don't want to give the impression, you know, one, that certainly we have some real struggles for many of our businesses. We've seen some of our strongest businesses struggle to the breaking point, and we've seen some really iconic businesses that have closed in Arcata. You know, Arcata Stationers, Philly Deuce, Pacific Outfitters, Mazzotti's, longtime businesses that the pandemic took a really, really hard toll on. And then a lot of the other revenues in the cities are down. You know, obviously our parking and our sports field rentals, our recreation programs, and our water and sewer revenue. We're working with many more residents that are struggling day to day to pay their water and sewer bills. So it's a mixed picture, but from a sales tax perspective, I think the piece that we could be very proud of on the North Coast is that our folks and our businesses have stepped up and they have bought local. I mean, I tell people there's three reasons we're holding. It's because people are buying local, people are buying local, and people are buying local. That is the only reason that we're holding.
Well, and I think, you know, at least in talking to three or four of the different hoteliers, that when things were open, we got, I mean, they were setting records. Like, so, you know, there were windows of opportunity for that compression for success, which I don't think anybody had really anticipated that. It'll be intriguing. Talking with a couple of the fellas more recently, the National Leisure Travel Association group is saying that this is going to be such an explosive year for leisure travel, vacationing, not business related, but family related, just because everybody's itching so much to get out of Dodge, so to speak. And we seem to be a safe place for people to look at going to rather than some of the metropolitan areas.
Yeah, people feel safe driving in their cars, and they feel safe going to less populated areas. Our challenge up here is to have really strong practices in place for safe use of our businesses and, you know, for shopping and for dining and to really train visitors when they get here. We want to stay open. We want to serve tourists, and we do so by everybody practicing some social distancing, wearing their masking in town, and just being conscious and respectful.
Now, the businesses that you were talking about and the privates that you were talking about that are in arrears, I guess would be the old way of saying it, for the utilities. Now, are those being delayed or are those being forgiven?
Sales tax has all just been deferred. So the state put in two programs. One was just you didn't have to pay anything for 3 months at one point. It was like everybody kind of, I say it, as everyone needed to figure out how to swim in the new waters, right? And the state said, take some time to do that. Make sure you have all the money you can to keep your business operating. And then they could pay that back in installments. And then they had a couple of choices. And by the end of the year, the state had another program they could automatically enroll in that would basically divide out any deferred payment over a 12-month period. So that piece is all deferred. On water and sewer utility bills, PG&E as well, there are aging, you know, accounts, I think, more than the city's ever seen. I'm sure more than the other utilities in the region have seen. At this point, we don't have immediate relief, but I continue to read that there could be federal and state relief coming for individuals that are, you know, within specific income brackets, that there could be some relief on rental assistance and back utility payments to get people out of debt, kind of similar to some of the student loan debt forgiveness that the federal government is also looking at. So we can't promise that, but we are hopeful that we might see some of that come to the North Coast to help individual families and residents.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:30.
community, times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Karen, with some of the various plans that are being kicked around at the federal level, there's discussion that there may be some bailout, I guess. I mean, that's kind of the phrase that gets used, not only for citizens, but also for governmental entities. When you look at what is being talked about, is that for investment in the local community? So, okay, here's your pot of money. Now do projects that employ local people and we get the 7-time multiplier in the market. Or is this money that goes to, let's say, the city, and now for those sales tax dollars or property tax dollars that you didn't have that are owed to the state of California, you cut a check to the state, and the local jurisdiction really doesn't feel that economic multiplier?
Yeah, so I wish I had definitive news, but there is a little anticipatory good news. We have been fighting in every federal legislation package for direct monies to local cities. You know, we have found that the response to COVID has been at the local level, you know, working hand in hand with our businesses and our residents to put measures in place to keep us safe, to open testing sites, to open vaccination sites, you know, at the county and the city level has where 90% of the response to COVID has been. Right now in the federal stimulus package, there is $65 billion set aside for cities throughout the nation. As those numbers get divided up through different allocations, the current list that I saw for Arcata was just under $3.3 million. So that would be direct aid coming to Arcata. That could backfill some of the lost revenues that we talked about earlier. That could go towards shoring up additional response to the pandemic. And could go in. I mean, they're finalizing that list of the types of things that we could use it for. But some of that could go to tenant-based rental assistance. Some of that could go to supporting businesses through our loan program or grant programs. So once we get that final list of uses, then the council will consider a suite of projects that we can roll out with those dollars if they stay in. You know, we have seen allocations for local governments start in every fiscal recovery package and at the federal level, and then each time in the end, local government allocations have been pulled out. So it might be a little too soon, but we feel like we've gotten farther this time, and we do have a president who says that he will consider this allocation for local cities and recognizes the burden that's been placed on local government. So we do remain hopeful. Those would be local money spent in our cities here in Humboldt County and could be a real boost to the economy here.
That's what I was looking at is where's the jump start or the kicker for the local businesses? I mean, let's say, for example, if you were buying, well, you said Greg had shut down the stationers. You were buying your office supplies through a locally owned business. Okay, fine. That's an easy one to follow. Some of the other things, you know, if a restaurant is owned out of the marketplace or, let's say, a large housing development was owned by somebody out of the area, yeah, it's still helping the residents, but you don't get that multiplier. It's the one-time spend, and then it goes out. Mm-hmm. Is there any delineation for that, or is that a consideration that Arcata will have to look at if and when those dollars do end up in your checking account?
Yeah, I mean, it appears as though there will be a fair amount of local control over those dollars once they get here. So there is some of that policy level decision that our councils could be making. We can't enact programs with discriminatory policies as a local government. So if we're going to make, let's say, loans available to all restaurant businesses, and these loans can be used to help you with set up for outdoor dining or takeout windows, or, you know, we can't tell one business just because they don't happen to have local ownership that they're not eligible for that. You know, that's probably outside of our realm.
Okay,
but how we market, how we outreach, you know, where the efforts are put are all things that we, you know, can put into place that make sure that those businesses that really do have local holds and ties to the community, you know, definitely know and can take advantage of the program.
Can you put qualifiers on it?
As long as they are consistent. So, you know, you could have put qualifiers on that say all businesses, let's say, with gross earnings under $500,000, you know.
Right, or off
things like that.
Off 10% or something along
right.
those
or,
lines.
Yeah, who can demonstrate losses greater than, or, I mean, you can even do things for, you know, like small businesses, less than, you know, 3,000 square foot or, you know, things like that. Or
employee
counts.
I
mean, we know all of our businesses in
right.
towns the size of, you know, any city in Humboldt County, right?
Yeah, I would suspect, I would think that the ones that are kind of the wild card, if you will, are those that are the advisors, the consultants, the folks that a majority of their work is out of the area, but they still live here. You know, the at-home office, not a retail. Those might be a little bit more challenging to be able to locate, but again, if you do get the word out to people, they will find you.
Yeah, and I'll say through the pandemic, you know, what we've seen kind of with all the big chain stores or restaurants in the region, they might have access to larger state and federal funds that they're going for, but all of them that have participated to try to help spur economy, they've all come to those tables with how can we support the smaller local businesses. We recognize
right.
that we have an advantage. We're not seeing those types of businesses come and apply for our small local dollars.
Well, you know, you probably wouldn't look kindly on them anyway.
Well, I mean, they service a lot of our community, so.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's like what we heard before. You know, the Lakers applied for PPP and got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, hang on. You know, we're in businesses
right.
that weren't down, you know, were applying and, right. and received. So I would suspect that lessons learned on some of those things, and they won't be repeated at the local level. Safe assumption?
Except that I think the difference is that I think some of our even national chain retailers on here, our local level, I think some of them are struggling, right?
Right.
And so how then are they looked at the corporate level where they could be supplying a service to our community that is taken away because they're not as profitable as the 150 other, you know, chain stores similar?
Sure, but then you don't have the determination, or neither does the local folks, whether or not they stay open. So let me take
right.
the money and then shut down anyway. Well,
exactly.
That's not too pleasant. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, part of what we've kind of danced around a little bit is the Humboldt State influence or factor. Have you seen a drop-off there? Are their consumer patterns changing also? Are people spending more time? The lease picture, what kind of sense do you have about that element of the economy in the north end of the county?
The sense that we have from Humboldt is that the junior and senior level students that had established, you know, residency in Arcata all returned or just stayed, you know, through the pandemic here in Arcata. So we haven't seen the turnover in, say, apartments or rental housing that you maybe would have expected on just a straight closure where they weren't going to school at all. You know, even on an online virtual platform, they're still staying in the region. Where we've seen the reduction is on the campus operations. So students, first and second year students that would have been living on campus, you know, where they're not doing face-to-face classes, those students did not move back up into the community. And then the campus itself is a huge driver.
Right.
It's, you know, probably 7 to 9% of our entire water and sewage consumption every month, right? So we've seen big decreases from a city operations side financially in those areas when, I mean, that's just two of the accounts, you know, that the university really affects when they reduce their operations on campus. So we will be welcoming back more students in March. The university will be holding, you know, similar to the fall semester, some face-to-face classes, maybe around 20% of their classes will have a face-to-face element that'll be starting here that first week in March. So we are starting to see some students move back into the dorms. You know, they're in a real reduced capacity at the dorms, but they will start to be filled more of those dorms this next couple of weeks.
Now, would you say that the water bill, the water bill, is off 7 to 9%? Are those money-making position or accounts for the city? Are you losing something, or is that treading water, and that you just have less coming in, but you have less going out, so it's a revenue neutral or a net neutral to the count to the city?
Yeah. Overall, it's going to be a percentage loss. It's not going to be on a one-for-one because we do purchase water as well. So, you know, part of that will have some cost savings. But we purchase water, you know, sort of on a five-year rolling average so that we don't see huge fluctuations up or down. You know, we're all, in essence, regionally, as I think most of your listeners know, most of us between, let's say, Eureka and McKinleyville, we all draw water from the Mad River. So we have a set amount of cost of what it takes for all of us collectively to pull that water from the Mad River, to disinfect it, and then to distribute it out. So 90% of your costs for water or for sewer are your base costs of maintaining your infrastructure. So from that standpoint, when you see just loss in use per gallons, you know, that sort of pennies on the dollars that you're spending to maintain the system. So it's definitely a loss of revenue for us on a customer that size.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, we had those discussions earlier when the pulp mills shut down, too. I mean, it's the same concept, just a different name is in the blank on our fill in the form.
Yeah.
Well, you made it through. Congratulations.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, okay?
I look forward to talking to you all in March.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
All right. Bye-bye.
See everybody tomorrow.